Praise the Lord. So we're going to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. And we had the first part of this down through verse 8, the last time we spoke on Revelation. And we're now going to be talking about the Lamb's wife. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus is called the Lamb, isn't it? In John, the first chapter, the John the Baptist was at the Jordan River baptizing, and Jesus came there. And it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. That's the first time we have it recorded in the New Testament that he is called the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. And I looked it up. I like to do this thing. So it's in 31 times in the New Testament he's called the Lamb of God. You think he's the Lamb of God?
Yes.
He definitely is. God has made sure that we all understand who he is. The neat thing about it, the word lamb actually means a baby lamb. Do you ever think of that? Now, there are different names in the Bible for the word lamb. But this word is a lambkin, which is a baby lamb. And you know the helplessness of a little lamb, how that little lamb has to do whatever its mom says. Well, then it has to do what the shepherd says. It's totally obedient. I mean, it has to be, or it will be lost. So that's what Jesus is called. Let's bow our heads and ask him to bless this word to us today. Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying as that lamb on the cross that gave his life and blood for us that we might be saved. Oh, hallelujah. We love you so much, Lord. We pray that you will bless this word of God as we go through this morning, Lord, and teach this word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in the book of Revelation alone, there are 29 times that he's called the Lamb. You think God's trying to impress us with something? He definitely is trying to impress us that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lamb. Now, I looked up in the Old Testament and the different offerings that were offered. Of course, there were different ones. If you know anything about Old Testament offerings that they had to do in Israel, sometimes, for instance, in the sin offering, it says that the ram was a sheep. And so then the purifying offering for sons and daughters, it was another sheep. It was a sheep offering. It wasn't an oxen offering, but it was always a lamb that was offered, some sort of lamb. And the purifying offering for the sons and daughters. For the burnt offering, it had to be a very choice ram that was offered and having burned all there. It's just something interesting. And the lamb that was for the trespass offering, see, it had to be on the burnt offering, it had to be a lamb. Did you know that? They couldn't put a big old bullock up on that burnt offering the burnt offering place. It would have been probably too heavy for that, especially in the Old Testament times. But they used the lambs for all of these sacrifices. And so as we think of the word lamb as a lambkin or a baby lamb, think of when Jesus Christ came down to this earth, how dependent he was upon his Father. He was a human being. He was Christ. He was God at the same time, and he could perform miracles, yet he was dependent upon his Father. And, of course, he was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. So let's look in verse 9 of this, and chapter of 21, Revelation. It says, and there came unto me, John speaking, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues. That was in chapter 15, verse 1. And so these angels came, these beings came to him, and it says, and they talked with me, saying, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so we see from that that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And the word bride here means a young married woman. Now, we know that spiritually speaking, the bride, this company of people that will be the bride of Christ, is not just one person. And it's not designated that it's all the young women. It is men and women alike who dedicate their lives to God become and can become part of this group that will be in this bride company. And so as we read on down, he says to come here and I'll show you this. All right? So notice in, let's go to verse 10. He carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And then let's go back to verse 1 of this same chapter. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, see the same one that's referred to there in verse 10, verse 9 and 10. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, in the Bible, we find that there's talk in Paul's gospel and different ones about being prepared for the coming of the Lord. And to be prepared to let the Lord work in our lives, that we have opportunity to be in this great company of believers who will be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we think of, like, you hope that when people marry that they're much alike. You know, that they be able to be a complementary to one another. That's what has taken place in Jesus being the bridegroom and the people of God as they yield their lives to Christ and become more and more like Christ in their actions. They're kind, they're loving, they love the Lord, they worship the Lord. See, it's like his kindness, his love, is in us because we have a new life. We have the new life of Christ. And we are made new in Christ. And that love of Christ begins to dominate us where we love other people. We love people that hurt us even. We pray for them. We love other people. See, that's what Jesus' love can do to us, to change our lives, to come to this place where we are this can be in this group that's called the Holy City, New Jerusalem, as a bride adorned for her husband. And so he says, come and I'll show you her. He carried me away, in verse 10, in spirit to this great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the whole Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, as clear as crystal. So, you know, the Lord teaches us in this life that we are to let our light shine. Even though we're in a human body, we can look at a person and not necessarily see that they are Christian. But how is that light shine out of our life right now? It's by our letting the Christ life in us and the Holy Spirit show us the way to be kind and loving and merciful and let that life of Christ see shine out. But when we get to heaven, if we are one of these groups that are there in this group, one of these people that's of this group, the light of we will be changed. We will have a new body, won't we? It'll be a group of people that make up this bride of Christ. And their light will be shining because they have that Christ just has worked in them and are given them this place because of their faithfulness to God. So as it says there, the light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Now I tell you what, I started looking up all of these different ones and I've studied that before, but I decided I wasn't going to go into those stones exactly right now. We will talk about some of them later. But he describes this as this holy city coming down from heaven that's actually these people of God that are different ones in it, this place in heaven coming down. And he describes all of the different stones, beautiful, wonderful stones that we think of, how that they shine so brilliantly. We love diamond rings and emeralds. Emerald is my birthstone. I like those things. Well, this beautiful place of God, this holy city that's going to come down, is just a beautiful, absolutely beautiful place in God's sight. It's a wonderful thing. So we're going to go ahead now a little bit and let us... I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians 11:2. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11:2. And we're talking about here the bride of Christ. He's going to have a people that are yielded to him, that love him supremely. You know, when a man and woman get married, that's the thing that we all hope, is that they love one another more than they love anybody else, you know. And they're watching, they're trying to do whatever the mate would please them. See, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Now notice in this chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And so this is Paul speaking, the apostle of the church age. And he says that he is espoused. That word is betrothed. That's kind of an old-fashioned word, too. But the marriage has been, Paul was a person who wanted the people to yield their lives to God, to become part of this company of believers that will be the bride of Christ. And he says, they're espoused you to one husband. Our head of our life, even today in this life, you know, in the marriage situation, the man being the head of the family, well, with the Lord, it's God, and it's Jesus Christ, the head of the people, the head of the Christians. That's what he wants. He wants our surrender to let him be our total head. What is in the head? The brain. It tells us what to do, guides our body. Well, the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, wants to be that to us spiritually. See, that he guides us, he shows us. We are espoused to him. And so Paul is admonishing them. He says, I'm jealous over you. I want you to follow. I want you to do these things. I want you to let Jesus be number one in your life and follow everything that he tells you. He says that I might present you. That word present, that I might present you, let's see, godly, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you. That word in the Greek means to exhibit or to show. Now, when Paul was dealing with these Corinthian people, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? So he's telling them, I want you to be examples of what you can be by fully yielding your life to the Lord. I want to exhibit, for it to be exhibiting and to show that you are letting the Lord be number one in your life. And that's what this really means. It means to let the Lord Jesus Christ be number one in our life. And it's more important to us than anything in this world for him to be pleased with us, to him to love us, because he's looking for a group of people that will do that. And notice he says, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Present. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? That I may present you. All right, so throughout Paul's teaching, he's being established in it and learning and standing for the truth in it. That's what it means to follow Paul's teaching. It means to stand for it, listen to it, do what it says. That's what it means. So going back over to our chapter, let's go first to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 7. We have already had this lesson before, but here's a verse that's is pertaining to it. Verse 11 of chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, how did she make herself ready? It wasn't by gritting the teeth and doing a bunch of self-works. You know, there are a lot of religious people that do different things and they think, okay, God will love me more now. You know, that's not it at all. To make ourselves ready means that we yield ourselves to this. We yield ourselves to the Lord God. We yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus. We want to be ready. We want to be there. I pray that every one of us here will have a desire to be ready when the trumpet sounds. The trumpet is going to sound, and I believe it's going to be soon. She made herself ready, and to her was granted, she was given favor, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And in the original it says, the righteous acts of the saints. What are righteous acts? Righteous acts, as we yield our life to Christ, and let the Christ life be manifested in our life, the acts that we do are like Christ. See, the Bible does say, be like Christ. How do we be like Christ? We yield our body as an instrument of the Lord, letting him dominate our thoughts and our ways and show forth that we are Christians by our acts. That's what it means. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So praise the Lord. Just wanted to read that to you. And let's go back to our chapter 21, and we look at verse 8, and let's go to verse 9. We read it a moment ago. Chapter 21, verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Praise the Lord. Now, at this point of time, if we were right here living at this point of time in chapter 21, the natural Jerusalem would have been destroyed. The 1,000 years of time of Jesus reigning will be ended at this point, and the earth will be different. It may even not be here. We don't know for sure that. So going on here, going on down, let's go to verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So this is a city. He is ascertaining the size by a fixed standard estimate. John saw this new city, and Abraham saw this new city too. He looked for a city. This was his desire to see it. And hold your place here and just go back to Hebrews. I know this is kind of jumping around this morning, but let's just go and see what the Lord's word already says. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10, here in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham. So it's talking about Abraham here in this place, this Old Testament man. And here in verse 10, it says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This was Abraham's desire way back there. Praise the Lord, whose builder and maker is God. And then verse 16, and now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to call them be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. See, that's right there in the Word of God in Apostle Paul's writings in Hebrews. The Lord Jesus is going to take us when we come, if we're in that group, we're taken away in that group. We're going to be the holy city in the heavens. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I think it is. I think it's a precious, precious thing. Now, from verses 18 on down to in our 21, Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21, it lists precious stones. And I'm going to read those. The building of the wall was of jasper, and that is a very precious stone. It's as clear as crystal. It's one of the 12 stones that are inserted in the breastplate of the high priest. In the Old Testament, we've studied that on our Wednesday night meeting a long time ago, and that breastplate that high priest wore, one of the stones there was jasper. And you can think of a diamond when you think of the jasper stone, how beautiful it was. So there are all these different stones that are here in this city. Praise the Lord. And verse 19, and the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So what did he say back there? He was going to build them a city. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. It's beautiful, isn't it? I believe that it's not literally a city, you know, like we think of Topeka or something like that. It is a group of all of the saints of God in heaven, especially the bride of Christ. And it lists there many different things about the different situations. And I'm not going into that this morning, but I want you to read it. Read it from the verse that we started with today, and you'll see. In verse 19, it says there'll be all kinds of precious stones there. And I looked them up. You know, I have a computer, and I look things up in the computer. I looked up these things all in the computer, and it was interesting. They had pictures of them. So do that sometime when you're home, because it's beautiful. Now, in Isaiah 61:10, it says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. And he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So if this is not a literal city in heaven that's coming down, if this is the bride of Christ, you can see the garments of the bride all decked out in beautiful jewels, like we just read, all of these jewels. So you can look into that. We have books that teach us on the book of Revelation, and if you ask for them, I'm sure you can find one. Now let's go to verse 22 of this chapter. Verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now what is a temple? The temple is a worship place. There's not going to be any use for a natural temple there. Because the temple is God. The temple is Christ. Wherever we are, there in the heavens with the Lord. Oh, What joy, what ecstasy it's going to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's just going to be so wonderful. No more trouble, no more illness, nothing. Not having to put up with people of this world that are going worse and worse and worse all the time. Praise the Lord. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. They are the worship place. And what will it say? It says that they'll cast their crowns at his feet. The overcomers, they won't go around in heaven with crowns on their heads and how good I am, look how good I am. No, they're going to throw their crowns down. It was because of him. He did it. He went down and died for us on the cross. And praise the Lord. Oh, they will just be in worship of that. Glory, glory, glory to God. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, but the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So God Almighty and the Lamb, they're the place of worship, but Jesus is also the light. God is the light of this whole being. God and the Lamb are the light thereof. Don't need any artificial light there. Praise the Lord. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, there are different groups in heaven. We've already studied that in our lessons. We saw in chapter 4 that there were already people in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 5, it says there that he had redeemed them out of all kindred, nation, and tongue. So they had gone first. Then in chapter 7, there's a large number of people that have come up to God. And it's called the multitude, or the great multitude. And they are people who don't have the same things as that first group. They're not sitting on thrones. They have white robes and they've got a palm leaf to wave, and it says they are saved. So there are going to be different groups in heaven that got saved at different times, some who fully yield their life to God and others who don't. We have a privilege today to fully yield our life to God. Let him be number one in our life. And if we do that, we're going to have a wonderful place in heaven. Hallelujah. So, the nations, verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, this doesn't mean that the literal nations on earth are all going to move up there, of the literal nations. It's speaking about groups of people, other groups of people. They are going to come up, the nations, the people that are saved from the nations. The Amplified Version says, the redeemed people from the earth. So it describes it. The word saved means to be delivered, protected, and preserved. And they will bring their glory. That phrase, they will bring their glory. In the Amplified, it says, they will bring their honor, their praise, and their worship. So even though they are not the bride of Christ, now you see that, the other nations of the world, those who have been saved from the nations, even maybe during the tribulation time of 7 years, they will be there in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. And verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall not be any night in heaven. If you like nighttime, then it's probably not a good place to be going. We're going to see the brilliance and light of the Lord God all the time. Some people that have had visions of heaven and had felt like they went to heaven, they describe the beautiful, beautiful countryside, the beautiful trees, the beautiful... I don't know about that, folks, but I know that heaven is absolutely a wonderful place. A wonderful place. I've told you before, I almost went. I was on the table having a deal where they were putting an instrument into my heart, and I was sailing away, and I was headed toward the light, and I didn't want to come back, but I could hear them yelling, come back, come back. And I got back a little ways, got up to about 40 on my heartbeat or whatever, and I went again. and they called me back again. But that experience was amazing, you know, to think about it. Even now, is I knew I was headed for the light. Oh, it was beautiful. It's going to be so great to be in heaven. Just praise the Lord for that. There won't be any night there. There'll never be any more sorrows or troubles or anything like that. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. This will be for eternity. It's always going to be glory and honor and beauty and wonderfulness. And there shall be no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. That word abomination there means idolatry in the original. It says anyone that works idolatry. So, praise the Lord. I want us to go back to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter, we see a group of people, the Philadelphia church, that the Lord makes a promise to. These seven churches of Asia that he writes about here and ministers to all represent different things about the church age that we are living in right now. The Philadelphia church and the Smyrna church were the only two that didn't have something wrong with them, that John writing and the Lord was speaking to him. There was nothing that there needed to be corrected there. And so they are people that represent the overcomers in Christ. People who walk with God, people who yield to God, are watching for the coming of Jesus at any moment. I've heard this message all my life. My father was a grace minister, and I remember at 5 years old, him preaching on the mark of the beast. And boy, I got on my knees. I didn't go forward. I went at the back. And I know I was probably saved by then because we always had the scripture. But I was 5 years old and I got down and I said, Lord God, save me. I don't want to be here in the mark of the beast. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're born again, you won't be. So thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go to verse 10 of this third chapter of Revelation. This is where it's talking to the church of Philadelphia that is an example of overcomers. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And another translation, it says, you have kept my word patiently. That's a big problem, isn't it? Most of us, it's a problem, patience. But that's a big thing in God's sight to work in our lives to keep us and make us be patient and wait on the Lord and wait upon the coming of Jesus because he's going to come. I also, this is the Lord speaking, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And the word temptation here means a tribulation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now this is the promise of God. This is a promise that if you keep the word of God, you follow the word of God, and you are staying and yielding your life to God, you are going to be kept out of that tribulation. You're not going to be going through that. Which will come upon all the world. The whole world is going to be tried by this time. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful promise? And it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. To people who will let the Lord have his way in their life. And I beseech you this morning, don't say no to God. Just keep saying yes, 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 yes. And you will never, never be sorry. You will never be sorry if you say yes to always to God's will and to his work in your life. He will bless you. He will not only bless you in the life to come, he will bless you in this life right now. He'll meet your needs. He'll just give you strength in your time of trouble, whatever it is. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.